Let's pray. Lord God, we are here to consider your holy word, and we can only do that by the guidance of your Spirit. So please bless us with the understanding that only your Spirit can provide. Amen. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. So goes the old saying about a bride on her wedding day. The bride was to wear something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue as a token of good luck. The old item was usually something out of the family tradition. Something new was something bought just for the occasion of the bride's wedding. Something borrowed could come from a bridesmaid or a family member, or maybe a grandparent, favorite aunt. Originally, the idea behind something borrowed is you borrowed from somebody who had a really good marriage, and you would hope that that would provide direction for your marriage as well. And then there was something blue. Well, I think maybe that was just to make it rhyme. Maybe, I don't know. Although it is said that the color of blue signifies fidelity, which certainly is a desired trait in a marriage as well. So something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Same little rhyme could be applied to our new hymnals as well. For indeed, we have all four of these things in this book that you've been holding here this morning, maybe some of you flipping through. We have something old favorites from our blue hymnal. Something new hymns that are riding the crest of a wave of hymn writing that has been going on for the last 30 years or so. Something borrowed. Our new hymnal borrows from a host of other cultures, other musical genres, other nations, other religious traditions, and something blue. If blue is the color of fidelity, then our new hymnal seeks to be faithful to the Reformed tradition, both in the music and in the style and substance of its organization. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And so we have a new hymnal that we are going to get acquainted with, but maybe that we ought to ask the question why we have a hymnal at all. And Heather kind of alluded to it in our opening message. We sing because we are called to sing. Our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah did that. Singing was part of our ancient roots, part of the Christian church from the very beginning. From Colossians we read that Paul in his letter writes, "With gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." It's part of who we are and what we do when we worship. Paul was reflecting what church already did in the early times. They gathered together to worship, to hear the word, to share the communion, and to sing together the songs of faith. And so we are called to sing and claim that heritage. And the hymnal gives us a tool to do that. The hymnal is a gathering of songs that will help us do what Paul tells us that we should be doing as a church. So today we begin a new relationship with a hymnal. And like any relationship, we are going to spend some time getting acquainted. And we'll begin that process today. This hymnal is one in a long line of hymnals in the Presbyterian Church. As I said in the introduction, that about every 20 years, the Presbyterian Church produces a new hymnal. This one was published in 2013, 23 years after the blue hymnal that we had been using was printed. I found out that due to advances in printing technology, we have many more pages in our new hymnal, and even a slightly smaller size. The result is we have approximately 250 more hymns in this hymnal than the old one. You can applaud at that. I'm sure they felt good on the committee that put this together. Now, one of the first things that churchgoers ask when brought in contact with the new hymnal are my favorites in there. Well, if your favorite came from the blue hymnal, then there's all likelihood the answer is yes, because more than two-thirds of the hymns in the blue hymnals were brought forward in this one. Now, some of you may have an old favorite that wasn't in the blue hymnal, and some of those has been recaptured in this hymnal. Hymns like Rock of Ages, and I Love to Tell the Story, which we will be singing as our middle hymn today. But this being a new hymnal, there are many hymns that are new. And these new hymns are what help spark the interest in the new hymnal. I invite you to flip through the pages and you'll find dozens of hymns that have not been sung here before. Some are older hymns that were never considered for previous Presbyterian hymnals. Others, recent creations that the hymnal committee thought would add to a congregation's worship life. And as with anything new, we will need to gradually become accustomed to it. Now, I'll tell you right now, we won't sing all the hymns in this hymnal. It would take more than 5 years of singing three different hymns every Sunday to do every piece of music in this hymnal. We will try out those new hymns from time to time. Some will be relatively easy to sing, and some will require more concentration on our part. Some we'll fall in love with and sing over and over, and others may be a one and done. But you think about it, you take a hymn like Here I Am, Lord, which appeared in the blue hymnal for the first time, one of my favorites, I know the favorites of many here. That was a new hymn in the blue hymnal. Nobody in the Presbyterian church had sung that before, and now it's a favorite for Presbyterians around the world. But that's typical of every hymnal. Each congregation chooses what hymns will help them worship God. And by the way, just so you know, we only sang about half the hymns in our old hymnal. There were plenty that we didn't care to sing, but maybe other congregations did. The other common question that is asked about a new hymnal is, did they change the words? I know it can be kind of jarring if you're singing along and with a hymn that you know so well, you can sing it by heart, and then all of a sudden you look down on the page and there's a word that's different and changed. And you ask, why do we do that? Why do hymnal people do that? Now, it seems like it ought to be a question that's fairly easy to answer, that should we change the hymns, words to a hymn? Shouldn't we just put what the original author put down? But that's not so clear a question. Many hymns come to us changed from the original author. For example, you know the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel? We'll be singing it in a month or so. O Come, Emmanuel? Would it shock you to know that John Neal originally wrote in his poem, draw nigh, Emmanuel? We could sing that next time, see how it goes, right? Or how about Charles Wesley, who wrote the hymn, Hark How All the Welkin Rings? You know what that is? Hark the Herald Angels Sings. You think it would sell quite as well if the Peanuts characters had sang Hark How All the Welkins Rings at the end of the Peanuts Christmas special? So words do change, and we often sing the changed words and treat them like the originals. And sometimes we change the words because we no longer use words. Nobody knows what a welkin is anyway. Well, maybe somebody here does, but most of us don't. And of course, if you sang holy, 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 you'll notice that they had the these and the thous left in, which the hymnal committee did with well-known hymns. They left it in. But in other hymns that are new to us, they might have changed it to more familiar and more common use of you instead of thou. So words change, meanings change, usage change. One writer used this metaphor to describe the hymns in a hymnal. Hymns are functional rather than pure art, he wrote. They are less like oil paintings in a museum where no one would dare touch them, but rather like sweaters hand-knitted to offer warmth when the weather gets cold. While sweaters may be beautifully crafted, they ultimately have a job to do. If over the years of doing that job they show signs of fraying, it is far from blasphemous to darn a careful repair over the worn spot. In the like manner, hymns have a job to do, and over time a word may become puzzling or problematic, and a proper darning may be needed to keep that hymn in the hymnal or the sweater in the wardrobe. Now, the question of language in hymns or in church is broad and deep and merits a whole sermon by itself, so I'll stop there. But I will say that the hymnal committee did try to keep familiar hymns familiar, like Holy, 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 and change the language only after careful consideration on a case-by-case basis, always recognizing that none of our words, neither the author's original ones nor ones suggested by a hymnal committee, can ever fully be adequate to the task of describing God and God's revelation in Jesus Christ. So we sing, and we sing together, and we sing faithfully, and we sing the words in the hymnal so that we might be joined as one and to give glory to God. Now, another area of interest for people in with hymnals and church music is that what sort of musical genres are in there. And I will admit to Lynn and Earl and everyone else that I am out of my league here, but what I do know is that there has been a revolution, and maybe a revelation too, revolution in church music over the last few decades. What has been called praise music or contemporary music has become quite popular throughout Christianity. And the contemporary church music is not only different in the type of music that is sung, but also uses different instruments, training the piano and the organ for the guitar and the drums. And many churches have added a contemporary worship service to complement their traditional services. Larger churches have even put these two services at the same time, so mom and the kids can go to the contemporary, dad and grandma can go to the traditional, and they can all meet together for coffee afterwards. Our church is kept to the traditional form of music, but we love it, don't we, when Todd and Kim get up here and play their guitar and drum. This new hymnal incorporates some of the new contemporary tunes, which, should we decide to ever expand our musical horizons into that, this hymnal will help us do it. But as Presbyterian scholar and theologian Thomas Long told me once, contemporary, traditional, it doesn't matter. Most churches are just looking for the best music for the situation, wherever it comes from. And that's what I hope we do as well. This hymnal is a tribute to its name, to glory to God. It comes from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah that Dorothy read this morning. Our scripture tells us to sing to the Lord, and this hymnal invites us to do just that. And so we begin a courtship with this hymnal. Invite you to look through it, scan through it, maybe suggest a hymn or two. We'll see if we can put it in there. Most of the time, we'll probably sing ones that we've sung before. From time to time, we'll introduce a new one. And all the time, we will sing to the Lord. So let us sing to the Lord a new song, a new old song, and sing all to the glory of God as we join together in singing, I Love to Tell the Story.